Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. TJ, and with me, as always, is Erin.
Hi.
Looking chipper over there.
Yep.
She's always chipper. Always chipper. Today on the show, I think we have a good topic. I think this is one that is going to affect a lot more people than not. We're talking today about ADHD. We're going to kind of lump ADD, ADHD together in one. I know that they're separate, but for this talk, we're gonna lump them together in one. We've done a show on this in the past.
Well, we did it in combination, I think, with autism.
Yes, we did. And so we've talked a little bit about this, but you know, there's always more people looking for more information.
Well, we got a lot more questions about this afterwards. About
yes.
You know, specific. While of course autism rates are skyrocketing, also it seems like we are getting more and more parents coming in that have children who are dealing with ADD, ADHD, and also adults who did not have these problems
right.
before and are now having these symptoms. And a lot of times it's kind of interesting. It's when their children start having issues and they start learning about what the symptoms are and the signs of this, then they start realizing, wait a second, this describes
right.
me exactly. So
right.
they're kind
or,
of.
And it describes me all the way back to when I was little.
Right. It describes, you know, issues I've had in my life are now all making sense. So, but unfortunately then that means that not only the child, but the parent will end up on medication.
Right.
And that's what we kind of want to talk about today.
Right. Because the medications are an issue. And, this,
right.
and the statistics are staggering. I had a hard time getting that out there.
That's right.
The stats are staggering. So you've got 1 in 10 American children on some form of stimulant medication, right? So modern medicine is basically saying, or conventional medicine rather, is basically saying that these kids have a stimulant deficiency. We need to give them things like Ritalin. You know, there's an ADD medication that's literally called methamphetamine. That's what it's called. It's a generic, but that's what it's called. I mean, as far as I know, you're not supposed to be taking methamphetamine. That was the whole purpose of Breaking Bad a few years ago when that was a big thing. It was all about, you know, meth, right? Why are we doing this to our kids? I don't understand. I mean, the incidence of this has risen 300% just from 93 to 2000. From 2000 to now, it just keeps going.
Right. This,
there's no sign of slowing down. So I don't understand, like, when I was a kid, I mean, I was a kid not that long ago, right? And I'm from a very small town in the middle of nowhere, and I don't remember anyone having ADD or ADHD. It wasn't
yeah.
until I got into college that I even knew that that was something that existed.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember in one of my classes having one kid, and I went to a small school also, but there were three classes generally, you know, like in each of my grades, there'd be three classrooms. So, I mean,
we had three grades in a classroom.
Yeah, very different.
It wasn't quite that small, but close.
Yeah, it's a one-room schoolhouse.
Yeah, it was a one-room schoolhouse out on the farm.
But I remember one year having a kid in our class who was extremely difficult, who had, you know, trouble paying attention and disrupted the entire class. But it stood out. And I think what's difficult now, and I mean, I've talked about this before, you know, my mom taught second grade for years and years, and now she's been retired for a number of years. But at the end of the time that she was teaching,
she retired so young.
She did. She retired very young. She didn't, but she'll be happy you said that.
That's right.
You know, she taught for a very long time. And at the end of her teaching career, you know, she talks about the fact that there were so many more kids who had trouble paying attention. So how did we go from there being maybe one kid, you know, and she used to say, I'd maybe have one, you know, difficult kid every few years. I mean, you just knew that that was kind of going to happen. But again, you know, and they were, you know, usually three second grade classes in our school. You know, how did we go from that to having multiple every single year?
Right.
And that's really where we're at.
And literally you start.
And that was, you know, she retired, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Teachers are like, you know, kids are acting up. They're like, get this kid tested. And every time a kid gets tested, guess what? Yep, you have ADD, ADHD. Nobody really comes back from that test, whatever they're testing, and figures out, and they say, no, it's not actually that. The kid, you know, is just eating too much sugar, is eating too many chemicals, or he's not, you know, his nutrition's terrible. They never say that.
Well, they're not looking at those things. And here's...
Well, that's the problem.
Right. It is the problem. But I think one of the points, I mean, we really want to make is it's not that we're saying, hey, kids are just going to be kids.
Right.
You know, like, hey, why are we trying to penalize kids for just being children? Because the truth of the matter is they are different than kids were 50 years ago.
Right.
They're not able to pay attention as well. So there is an issue. We're not saying that, like, hey, we're, you know, medicating these kids because there's no problem. We're just saying medication is generally not the answer.
Right. Because any of those medications all come with risks. And those risks vary from, you know, watch out for your kid to end up with depression all the way to suicidal thoughts.
Right. And especially, I mean, you know, we see this a lot where, you know, inability to gain weight. And it's funny because we have a lot of parents with male children who come in and they're like, they're really concerned because their child is smaller. And we're like, well, they're on ADHD medication. They're not, you know, they're not eating as much and they're not gaining weight.
They're all hopped up on that methamphetamine.
Right. I mean, and, you know, I think really the real question with all of this is, you know, what causes ADHD and why has it become so prevalent? Right.
Well, it's not a Ritalin deficiency.
No, it's not a Ritalin deficiency.
It's not. And unfortunately, when we look at, when we're looking at this in conventional medicine, they're calling these things brain issues, right? And they're, any brain, pick a brain issue. It doesn't really matter.
An issue that we generally, you know, us, you know,
associate with
associate
the brain.
Associate with the brain.
Things,
associate,
depression, anxiety, autism, Alzheimer's, all of those things. They're focusing on the brain. But what's being missed is no one is focusing on the gut-brain connection and also how nutrition plays a role in this. I mean, if it were useful, if it were actually useful to deal with these things as they come as brain issues, then we could focus on that and fix the issue. But it's not useful. It's not helping. It's not working. We're seeing more and more of this. The prevalence of all of these things is going up. It has to do with our food supply. It has to do with, you know, our nutrition. It has to do with all kinds of things, right? Not drinking enough water. I mean, these things are, they're just a problem. You know, we're missing the boat in what it is that
right.
we're looking
at. Right. Well, and when people come in, I mean, we tend to focus on, with any of these, you know, like TJ said, when there's so-called brain issues, you know, and I know we've talked a lot on here about depression and anxiety, but autism also, and ADHD, we focus on things like nutrition and hormones and inflammation, digestion, right. Detoxification, calming the mind, which, I mean, there are a lot of programs out there now that talk about with ADHD calming the mind, which we're not saying are bad things, but they're not the only part that needs to go into this.
Right, exactly. I mean, every single thing that we do affects our brain. I mean, what type of inflammatory foods we eat. I mean, we all know when we've talked on this show before, we eat way too much sugar. The average American is eating 150 pounds of sugar a year and 150 pounds of white flour. That's 300 pounds of gasoline being added to a fire. That's exactly what we're doing. And how we think affects it. So when we start having negative thoughts, we affect things. People that have negative thoughts have a different chemistry than people that are having positive thoughts. How much we exercise. We're a sedentary society. We're overweight. Two-thirds of us are obese or overweight in this country, and there's no way to be healthy if you're overweight. And if you're overweight, there's no way to be healthy. I mean, it's just an up and down. Unfortunately, we're just a sick country. Right? Environmental toxins affect our brains. There are tons of environmental toxins out there. We've talked about it on this show before. There are 800,000 chemicals that have been approved by our EPA to be in our land, air, and water. And until we get people to be able to detoxify these things, we're going to continue building those things up. I mean, we could go on and on about this. We've talked about environmental toxins and how dangerous they are in our environment anyway. I mean, and lastly, before I move on, gut flora, right? How we maintain our gut flora makes a difference. You can maintain your gut flora. We don't eat fermented foods anymore. We eat processed, high flour, high sugar, high inflammation, high inflammatory oils foods, and it just destroys our gut bacteria. Not to mention, we take antibiotics for every sniffle out there, and we're killing off our gut bacteria, and we wonder why we continue to get sick over and over and over again.
Right. Well, and also, and I just want to throw this in here before I make another point, is that, you know, there are also hidden and stealth infections, you know, heavy metal toxicities.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about infections.
But I mean, I think, you know, the point that I really want to make is that, you know, when we have issues like ADHD, you know, same thing, depression, anxiety, we don't, in our clinic, focus on, you know, we focus on things like we talked about, nutrition, hormones, stuff like that. If diseases, as we know them, were a useful way to think about what is wrong with our brains and our moods and our thinking, then that's what we would do. We would Right. focus on that, but they're not useful. Instead, we explore what's really going on with their brain, what Right. is really affecting it, and what's really wrong. We focus on the real causes and then the solutions for those
Right.
To try to actually fix the root cause and heal someone from the inside out, which is the only way they're actually going to be better.
Very well said.
Well, thanks.
Show's over. So we covered it. First segment. So you guys that's it. It's over. She's going to, after this break, she's not even going to get back to the microphone. I can see it now. I'm going to be left on the hook to hang here with you and talk for an hour. I could do it, but hey, you know what? We do have to take a break. When we come back from this break, I am going to walk you through a little case study. We're going to talk about a young boy who came into our office. So stick around. We'll catch you right after this. You're listening to Wellness One. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ, and sitting here beside me is Erin. She basically finished up everything that needed to be said in the first segment. So I think she's...
We still have a lot more to cover.
Good. I'm glad there's more. So before the break, I said that when we came back, I was going to talk about a case study. Now, you know, if you've listened to this show before, you realize that it takes me a little while to get through case studies. There is a lot going on with this young man that I'm going to talk about. So you've got to bear with me a little bit. Erin will probably hop in here and throw in a few things as well. But this young guy, he is 12 years old, and his mom is a business professional in our area. And she was basically at her wit's end with this young man and brought him in. And he had been labeled, and we call it labeling. When someone's been given a diagnosis, that diagnosis is basically the box that all medical professionals will then try to put this person in, no matter what their problem, no matter what their symptom, they try to throw them back in that box. And we've talked about that on this show before. Someone gets diagnosed with hypothyroidism, and then everything that happens to them, their doctors try to say, oh, no, it's because you're thyroid. Nope, it's because you're thyroid. Not even paying attention to the fact that it could be something completely unrelated, and the thyroid may have nothing to do with it. So that's what this young man had. So he had a bunch of psychological and physical diagnoses. So, which is unusual. A lot of times it's just psychological diagnoses and we figure out what's going on with him physically. But this kid had been everywhere because his mom didn't know where to take him. And one day she heard our show and was like, well, I'm going to go see these guys and see if Dr. TJ and Nick and the team at our office can help him out. And so from the psychiatry side, a psychiatrist had diagnosed this young man with ADHD. Basically, his symptoms were that he couldn't focus in school. He seemed to be, quote, zoning out, and he was being very disruptive, okay? So he also couldn't write, so he was having a very difficult time with his penmanship. And
right, he could write. It was just nearly illegible.
Yeah, hardly read it. You really had to know kind of what he had been writing. You had to have his mom could read it. It was difficult for me. But he was very, very good in math. And so it kind of frightened mom because she was like, well, are we dealing with autism here? Is he really good in this one thing and just terrible in all these other things? So, you know, we were just trying to put her at ease. But so here's the stuff that he suffered from. Now, this is a ridiculously long list, but bear with me, okay? So he had obviously the ADHD diagnosis from a psychiatrist, but he also had been diagnosed with asthma environmental allergies, sinus congestion, postnasal drip, sore throats, eczema, nausea, stomach pains, diarrhea, headaches, anal itching, yep, you heard it, canker sores, muscle aches, muscle cramps. He was hypersensitive to basically all noises and smells. He had frequent infections, not to mention the fact that he didn't sleep very well. And when he was asleep, he had trouble breathing. He would wake up gasping. And he had suffered from anxiety. He was fearful and he craved sugar. All this kid wanted to eat was sugar all day, every day.
Well, and carbohydrates, you know, cereal, pasta,
yeah,
you know, and
sugar.
Other. Right. I
you
mean,
know,
but
sugar.
I don't know that everybody gets that. You know, he had a big issue getting him to eat anything other than pastas, yeah, and cereals.
Yeah. He didn't want to have a nice piece of steak, I'll
right.
tell you that.
Yeah.
All right. So he had enlisted an entire army of specialists that were treating this kid. Because,
right. And I think that's something I just want to jump in there really quick.
Sure.
Because we see this so often. There were a ton of doctors treating this child, and the mother,
not one communicated with each other.
But the issue, I mean, I think it's important to point out, like, this was a mother who was doing everything that she knew how to do to get her child help.
Right.
You know, and that's how she ended up in, you know, the office of all of these different specialists. And it wasn't that, I mean, so this is not a parent that was neglectful or
no.
even wasn't one who was micromanaging either. I mean, she just wanted to help her kid.
He had had like 15 or 18, something like that, visits, doctor's visits in the previous 12 months.
Yeah.
I mean, more than one a month. He was just at the doctor all the time because he was, I mean, when you have a whole army of specialists treating you, of course they want to see you and follow up. And I mean, it's just insane.
But I think the important here point here, and I want you to go on about this, but, you know, he's treated by all of these doctors. He was on 7 different medications yeah. when he came into our office.
Yeah, I'm getting there because I'm gonna say what they were.
Okay.
So he was on Ritalin. He was on an allergy medication. He was on an asthma inhaler. He was on an acid blocking medication for his stomach problems. Mind-boggling that someone puts a child on something to block acid, but that's another show. And he was on painkillers. So it's a problem, right? So there's only 5 there, but he was on a couple of meds in different
well,
classes.
He was on more than one inhaler. So
yeah, he had a couple of inhalers. So there's where his 7 came from. Because those of you out there listening, I know I'll get emails saying you only listed 5 drugs. No, there's 7 in there.
They're two different painkillers. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he's got going on. So here's where I have a problem. Well, I have multiple problems, obviously, with this whole case. He's 12. He's on 7 medications. There's not a single research study out there that really tells you what goes on in a person when they're on 2 medications, let alone a child on 7.
Yeah, we think about that. We don't test it, right? It would be completely unethical to do a study on a 12-year-old and give them 1 medication, let alone multiple. So we do not know how that affects a growing brain.
But that's... That unfortunately, that's exactly what we're doing in medicine now. We are taking the body, chopping it up into its individual parts and pieces, and only treating the individual parts and pieces and not looking at the person as a whole, right? I'm sorry, but you can't treat the cardiovascular system and only treat the cardiovascular system without affecting everything else in the body. You can't give someone a stimulant and it not speed up every metabolic process that you have. It just doesn't happen. You're not improving their brain. You're messing up their entire system. But that's neither here nor there. So the other issue, another issue that I have is that a lot of psychiatrists, they don't have the training to address physical diagnosis issues. And a lot of them, I've talked to a few, but when reading their papers and stuff, a lot of them even They basically say that the physical diagnoses are irrelevant to the mental diagnoses. Well, I'm sorry, that's just not true. Your physical well-being and your physical body has a direct impact on your mental well-being, period. If you just didn't drink water, are you going to think clearly? Nope. Right? And that has nothing to do with your brain. If you don't eat, think about the people that get hangry. We've all been hangry. We've gone too long and we haven't eaten food, and it's affected us mentally. So to say that the physical diagnosis doesn't have any bearing on the mental diagnosis is just poppycock, right? And so I think that it's all connected. So we have all these medications that they're untested, right? So many kids out there are on, you know, they have mental, behavioral, emotional issues like this, what this little boy has. And I mean, you're put on an antipsychotic, an anti-seizure, antidepressants, and then a stimulant all at the same time.
Well, and the other thing is that you know, they're put on these medications and there are side effects of the medications. Well, then you get sent to another doctor. I mean, or the psychiatrist will put you on medication. You know, that's how he got into the acid blocking medications. That's how he got into the probably headache medications, because we believe that the headaches were a side effect of the other medications he was on. So it's
not to mention the fact that he's on an acid blocking medication, which it almost shuts down absorption. You don't absorb vitamins and minerals. You'll still get your proteins. You'll still get some proteins. You'll still get a few carbohydrates and you'll still get a few fats, but you're not going to absorb them well. And you're definitely not going to absorb the nutrients that you need. And so he was nutritionally deficient to start. And now he's just even more nutritionally deficient because we blocked his body's ability to be able to absorb food. This is a very tight knit set of circumstances that these dominoes all have to fall in a specific order for you to digest the food the way that you're supposed to and absorb the nutrients that you need. And his is messed up just because he's taken an acid blocking medication for his quote stomach problems.
And that was just one medication.
That's just one.
That's just, you know, talking about the side effects of one of the medications, many medications that he was on.
Right. So we dug into this case and we found quite a few issues that this young man had. And so we got down to the root of his issue and started treating the root. We started figuring out exactly what it is that he's got going on under there.
Right. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and what's sad, and we got to take a break here in a minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the things that we did with this young man. But what's so sad about this is his story, one way or another, is basically everyone's story that has a chronic condition. They start out with something, they don't know where to turn, they go to the place that they think is going to make them better, and they're just going down the road, the wrong path, taking the wrong medications for the wrong reasons, trying to fix the wrong issue, and they're continuing to drive the wrong direction. Right? It's like making a wrong turn,
right?
And you just keep going. Like, well, eventually I'll get there. No, you won't. Eventually, you'll run into an ocean and you'll never really find where you're going.
Right. No, I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, this case really, I mean, in a lot of ways, it illustrates the despair and the delivery from our epidemic of quote unquote broken brains.
Right. All right. Like I said, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what his deficiencies were and how we address them. You're listening to Wellness One. Our last segment, I gave the background information on a 12-year-old boy that came into our office, and I'm not going to rehash all of that. Go back and listen to it on iTunes or SoundCloud, and catch that segment. But now we want to switch gears just a little bit and talk about what we found with this young man and
what some of the problems were, the keys that were affecting his behavior.
Right. So we want to talk about that. And like the things that we found in his diet. So we had Mama. It was when she called and made the appointment, it was about a month and a half or so before she was able to get in to see us. And so we like, just write down, if you can, basically what he eats on a daily basis. And to be expected, it was full of just junk food, right? He ate, you know, ding-dongs, ho-hos and Twinkies. I mean, tons of food additives, trans fats, lots and lots of carbs. And, you know, I get it from Mama's perspective. Like, she's got to get food into him. to feed him.
He wouldn't eat anything else.
He wouldn't eat the healthy stuff.
Plus, he was a nightmare when she would refuse to get those things for him.
So, literally screaming fits.
And she was at her wit's end. I mean, she's like, I don't know what else to do, so I just give it to him because, and I know it's not right, but right. I cannot even get him to entertain the thought of trying something else.
Right, and one of these days we'll come back and we'll talk about Mama and how we helped Mama. Because once Mama started getting the child on the right path, she wanted to change some things too.
Both
and
patients.
And it ended up, yeah, they ended up both becoming patients, and we helped Mama too. And, you know, but we see this a ton. We see this a lot. He was just eating a bunch of poor stuff. So we ran some blood work on this young man, and he had a lot of nutritional deficiencies. His blood work was all over the place. It was highs and lows and just terrible stuff. Especially, you know, it's something that you're surprised to see an adult. You're really surprised when it's a child. And so,
well, we're becoming less and less surprised.
I'm definitely not surprised. You know, when we explain it to patients, they're completely baffled because they're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that all this was going on. All of my doctors have always said I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, well, that's because your doctors don't actually know what this stuff really truly means, because you can't really fix it with a medication. You have to fix it with nutrition, and they're not trained with it. And so, one of the big things that we found in him was a massive deficiency in omega-3 fats, particularly EPA and DHA. They're both extremely essential for brain function, right? 60% of your brain is DHA. And for those of you with kids out there, getting your kids on an omega-3 with high amounts of DHA is pivotal, especially if they're before the age of one. There's so many things that happen. I mean, our little guy eats massive amounts of.
He gets
excited when he sees it when we bring the bottle out.
It's another reason to start them early, right? Because they don't, you know, if that becomes normal before they really realize what's going on, then it's a normal thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just normal to him. He sees the bottle and he gets excited.
And he takes it straight. Like, we don't have to mix it with anything.
Nothing.
Just take it straight from the bottle.
He just drinks it straight from the little eyedropper that you dispense it with. And I mean, he gets a lot every day and has since he was born. So, you know, when we don't have these healthy fats, this EPA and DHA, right? Those are linked. Deficiencies of those are linked to things like ADHD. It's linked to eczema. It's linked to immune deficiency, right? So that's a massive piece of this young man's puzzle with his skin issues and irritations and things that he had going on. Another one that we figured out, he was missing tryptophan. Okay, so tryptophan is an amino acid. It's how we make serotonin, which is, you know, this chemical that helps us relax, be happy, which is important. But it also helps us make melatonin.
Isn't
right?
tryptophan what's in turkey? It makes us fall asleep.
No, that's yes. It's in all meat, but turkey. It's actually you have more tryptophan in beef and chicken than there is in turkey. It's not the turkey that makes us sleep at Thanksgiving. It's the massive amount of carbohydrates that we eat with the potatoes and dressing and sweet potatoes and candied whatever this and that and all the you're blaming the turkey for what the carbohydrates did.
Okay, then move on.
Bursted her bubble. That's what I do. So another thing that we found that he was extremely deficient in was vitamin B6, right? And what's important about B6 is that's a critical piece to help your body convert tryptophan into serotonin, right? So the fact that he had unstable mood, his sleep was all messed up, and he had ADHD, just that alone clued me in that, you know, this kid probably could use a little bit of B6. It's going to be important.
Plus, weren't some of the prescriptions actually depleting B6? I know a lot of prescriptions do.
Yes, a lot of prescriptions, and a lot of people don't realize this, prescriptions deplete very rapidly. They deplete things like vitamin B6. Another one that depletes B6, for those of you ladies out there that are listening, birth control. All birth control, whether it's pills, shots, NuvaRing,
a lot of issues.
it burns B6 like it's going out of style, and you can be very, very deficient in B6. In fact, there are some countries throughout the world that it's medical malpractice to not prescribe vitamin B6 with birth control.
Not in America.
Not in America. No. Nutrients mean nothing in America.
No. Can't patent B6.
Can't patent B6, so we don't need to
get
that.
We don't need it. Nope.
So that was an important piece of the puzzle for him. Was, you know, it depletes. Oh, I was saying the B6, the medications deplete B6. They deplete B9. They deplete B2 and B12. Those are your big B vitamins that a lot of medications deplete. So if you're on one or more medications, the likelihood is you're needing lots of B vitamins. And more than what you're just going to get from a one a day, you know, vitamin. You're going to need like complex B complex vitamins and multiples a day. So another thing was he had some bumps on the back of his arms, right? And there's a lot of associations with this. One of them is a gluten sensitivity, which we obviously encouraged his mom to not feed him gluten. But another indication of this is not having enough vitamin A. And not having enough omega-3s in the diet can cause these bumps on the back of the arm. And so we paid very close attention when we did, you know, the exam on him to see these things. And we noted that. And then that also came back in some lab work that we ran. And so some other nutrients that we know are going to be affected by eating lots of junk food are things like vitamin E and beta-carotene, which is also vitamin A. But he also had a very, very low level of vitamin D. So we know vitamin A is messed up. We know vitamin D is messed up. We know vitamin E is messed up. Guess what? There's another fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin K, and he's not going to have enough of that either, right? So we also figured out that he had a low level of zinc. And when you don't have enough zinc, you have your immune system suffers, you're not able to detoxify metals, and it's associated with ADHD. And lastly, the last one we're going to talk about is he had low levels of magnesium. And not having enough magnesium can lead to headaches, anxiety, insomnia, muscle spasms, cramps, body aches and pains, and being hypersensitive to noises, right? So all of this stuff together was just nutritionally, well, he was a big mess, right? So all of his, and then he had some immune and inflammatory imbalances. So all of his symptoms told us that he had immune and inflammatory imbalances. And we can't think of these as separate conditions, right? Basically, we have to think of immune and inflammatory as one thing. Right? The immune system triggers the inflammatory response. So anything like food, your environment, any kind of mold or toxin that you're exposed to, any kind of low-grade infection, all of these or a combination of can trigger this inflammatory response, can trip the immune system to create an issue, right? So we also did some food sensitivity testing on this kid, and he had high levels of about 20 different foods that he was having reactions to. He was having reactions to dairy, peanuts. He had reaction to yeast, citrus foods, and a big reaction to gluten, right? All of these things, we've talked about food sensitivities before. When you eat a food that is not healthy for you and your specific condition, then you are going to have a problem, and it's going to create that inflammatory fire. You're throwing dry leaves on the fire, right? And then before the break here, we got to take another break, but this young man also had these digestive imbalances, mainly from massive use of antibiotics for the infections that he had, which led him to have a yeast overgrowth, and his gut flora was all messed up. So we've got a couple other things to talk about when we come back from this, and we'll finish this young man's case up. You're listening to Wellness One. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in today, we have been talking about ADD and ADHD. And for the most of the show, we've been talking about a case study, a young man, a 12-year-old young man that came through our office and his host of issues. And before the break, we were talking about the things that we found on him that he was deficient in, the nutrients that he was deficient in, the fact that he had some digestive imbalances. And just continuing on with that, and then we'll get into like how his results were and what happened with this young man. So he was unable to detoxify, so he had some metal toxicity. He had high levels of mercury and lead in his system, and his exposure was really not much different than other kids his age. He was just unable to detoxify this. So he had this phenomenon taking place in him called bioaccumulation, where you accumulate a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and you're not able to get the stuff out of your system. And this happens to a lot of us. That we find that people just aren't able to get rid of this stuff. And so mercury itself has been, you know, tied to a lot of issues, GI problems, autoimmune condition, cognitive problems. And lead toxicity is the same thing. And lead toxicity can be extremely important because lead is a massive endocrine disruptor, meaning it messes up hormones. And for a young man, this is really hard because it can really mess up testosterone and development of male characteristics. And I mean, the world that we live in is polluted, but we still can, you know, there are things that we can do to decrease our load. So I'm not going to hammer too much on that because I know you want to know like how this young man did. So really, the treatment was relatively simple for him. He's 12.
Right, kids, disarmingly simple, I think.
Yeah, kids respond very quickly when we know what we're attacking and we know what they need. And so we just basically went back to the basics and said, okay, we have to remove all of these things that are irritating his system. So Mama followed his food sensitivity testing to a T. She didn't let him have anything that wasn't on his results. Now, it was tough, and she'll admit it was tough for the first couple of weeks.
And also, I mean, like with everyone, there were a few hiccups in there because, you know, she's like, I found out afterwards that I had given him this and I didn't know, you know, I mean, it happens almost every time when people have food sensitivities that they realize, oh, wait, I didn't, you know, I would forgot to look in the ingredients on this one thing because I didn't think there was any way that would have, you know, yeast in it or whatever it happens to be. So,
right.
But in general, she was one of the most compliant that, you know, because she was able to do it for him. So he didn't have access to a lot of the foods that he wanted to eat.
Right. And so because she didn't bring it into the house, he didn't have it. And that was that. It was pretty simple. And so then she started putting the nutrients back. So we recommended some supplements for her and put some of these nutrients back into this kid. And it was the results, they're astounding, but they're also typical of what we see, right? So they were extremely diligent. When they came in for their 2-month visit, Mom was practically crying. I mean, we walked in and we always keep a box of tissues at our consultation room because people get frustrated or overwhelmed, and these were tears of joy, and it was really an awesome thing to see. So she explained how diligent they were and how they made sure that they were going to follow everything exact. And so after a couple of months, when he came back in after a couple of months.
And I just want to say that
no,
like
sure.
This was a quick change. You know, this it was a the change itself is typical, but it was so quick with him.
Yeah.
Because she was so diligent. And, you know, as soon as she found out, she eliminated everything he wasn't. I mean, there wasn't this period.
She literally told us, she went home and threw out stuff. She's like, I can't tell you how many dollars worth of food I just threw out and gave somewhere else.
And not everyone is allowed to do that. And we, you know, we tell patients, listen, this can be a transition because we're not going to tell you after, you know, paying for the testing and stuff that, you know, you can't eat that food if you want to. Now, we do certainly have patients who are like, I can't eat it anymore when I know that it's basically killing me.
Right.
But she was one of them that said, nope, it all went.
Right.
So
after 2 months, the most astounding thing to me, he had discontinued all of his medications. He was no longer on Ritalin. He wasn't taking his two antihistamines. He wasn't taking his asthma medications. He wasn't taking Tylenol. He wasn't taking Advil. He wasn't taking anything, right? His mood and his behavior had came back to what you would normally expect in a 12-year-old boy. Even his teachers were commenting to his parents that, writing to Mom and saying, hey, guess what? What's going on with him? He is a completely changed young man.
Well, and you brought up writing, and one of the really big things was his writing improved so much. He actually wrote a thank you note to us, which we were just like, TJ's like, I was about to cry.
I know.
Because he couldn't, you know, that when they had first brought it in, I mean, his mom had shown TJ, I mean, he's 12 years old and you can't read what he writes.
Right.
And this was something that, you know, you could actually read what he was writing, and that's in 2 months.
Right. And all of that list of symptoms that I said, hang with me, we're going to, you know, I'm going to list all the things that he had going on, gone. He didn't have asthma. His runny nose was gone. He didn't have stomach aches anymore. His nausea, his diarrhea, the all of it, muscle cramping, everything. But the another big piece, and he was so excited, he was able to fall asleep and then sleep through the night. So this kid was not only putting the nutrition back in his body, he was balancing out everything. His body knew what to do. He just needed the tools to be able to do it.
And you could tell the difference in his self-esteem because he was able to, you know, get things done in class. And he was able to, you know, he was no longer the bad kid.
Right.
And that changes how a child looks at themselves.
Right. I mean, this will impact this kid's life from here on out, because instead of being thinking that he's a bad kid, because everyone tells him you're a troubled kid, you're bad because you don't pay attention in school and you're disruptive and all these things. And all the other little kids are like, well, we can't sit next to this little boy because he's disruptive. It completely changes his outlook. He's going to be infinitely more successful in the future because his mom was able to find us and make a change and move things in the right direction.
And I know I brought this up before, but it was not, you know, I mean, yes, he was labeled before, but not because the parents didn't care. I mean, it was, they really were trying to help. They just thought, okay, well, this is what he has, and so we're going to do what we can to treat it. And it just was that the treatment was medication, and the medication was making it worse.
Right. So hopefully, you know, through his story, you know, out there in listener land, you're maybe going to be able to implement some of these things, or at least look for someone in your area that can help you, you know.
Do you want to run through really quick, like some tips for them too that they can do? Like,
we can do a couple. So eat real food. Don't have a label on your food, right? Meat, vegetables. Get rid of food sensitivities. Get yourself tested. Figure this stuff out. Find out what nutrients you're deficient in. Extremely important. Fix your gut. People's gut dysfunction is rampant. Eat as an anti-inflammatory diet. It's super simple. You just type in to Google anti-inflammatory diet and you're going to get all kinds of stuff. But follow your food sensitivity too. And get as many antioxidants as you can. Foods that are high in antioxidants, and detoxify, detoxify, detoxify. We've done shows on detoxification. Make sure you get rid of that stuff. So those are some things that you can do, and you can see results just like this, okay? That's about all the time we've got for today's show. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want more information, go to our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, send us emails, call us 314-293-8123. We love to hear from you. We love to hear your success stories, and we will help you in whatever way we can. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness One. Thanks for listening.
Wellness One has been brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your destination for functional medicine in St. Louis. For more information, visit them online at theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com or by phone 314-293-8123.